This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Vermont is now among more than 15 states and the District of Columbia that have legalized the recreational use of cannabis. And while retail sales of marijuana are more than a year away, America is clearly in the midst of a sea change when it comes to attitudes and access to marijuana. But a broader social acceptance of the drug does not address the very real health and public safety concerns that come with more people using it. And that's where St. Michael's College psychology professor Ari Kirschenbaum comes in, with a smartphone app he's developed that aims to help quantify a user's high and make that person aware of how the drug is affecting them. Professor Ari Kirschenbaum, thank you so much for speaking with us about this.
It's really my pleasure. Thank you for making the time with me this morning.
So before we get into this app, I'd like to know why you are interested in studying marijuana in the first place, because I do understand that you have a personal connection to wanting to see responsible cannabis use.
It would be, I think, disingenuous to say that my interest in the app really came from my experience with cancer. My partners and I had already been working on the app prior to that, because both of my partners are involved with in public health and public safety in various ways. But my diagnosis really changed sort of the emphasis of where we were going with the app. So my real goal with the app is to just collect information about how cannabis and THC alter neuropsychological functioning. And really, my overarching goal as both a professor and as a scientist is to provide public with information, because a better informed society is a better society, in my opinion.
Well, you and your colleagues used a National Science Foundation grant to develop this app to measure, as I understand it, neurocognitive aptitudes. And that's things like reaction time, concentration, time perception. And you do this through what you call essentially brain games. I'm wondering, how do those games work within this app that you've developed?
That's a great question. So we designed these games based upon 40 or so years of laboratory research, in which psychopharmacologists give controlled doses of cannabinoids to various participants in the laboratory. And what we've tried to take is all of that data and distill it into what we call a rapid neurocognitive testing procedure. So there are a variety of different tests, and each one taps into just a slightly different neuropsychological domain.
So when you open the app and you start to, let's say, play one of these games, you know, and I think there are so many different kinds of games you can get on an app. This is not something like Angry Birds. This is testing something different. How exactly would it work for the user?
Well, take, for instance, user app when they're sober. And the app then accumulates that data and shows it to that user on how they performed under these baseline conditions. And then if they were to, let's say, use a little bit of cannabis for whatever reason, then at the end of the app would give their performance relative to their sober performance. All of us understand at some level how alcohol impairs our ability to function. And we all have some sort of understanding that, let's say we could have a beer an hour. As long as we keep it to that, we're not necessarily going to be intoxicated. We don't have any such information like that about THC or cannabis. And I think that it's going to be very useful for just users of cannabis to have that information. And I also think it's going to be very important for dispensaries, with the wave of legalization across the country, to be able to provide their clients with useful information about how their products are affecting them.
You know, that dilemma you just mentioned about, we have ways of measuring alcohol and, you know, knowing when we're intoxicated. This is one of the big concerns that Governor Phil Scott had about legalizing marijuana in Vermont. He was worried about things like people using marijuana and driving, because there's no reliable kind of breathalyzer test like you would have for alcohol. So is this something that you see this app being used for? And if not, why not?
Well, potentially, maybe. I think we want to have more conversations with the law enforcement community. But I think our initial goal is to improve public safety by informing consumers themselves. And then eventually, if we get enough evidence and we find that the app is really effective and it's accurate, then maybe we can pursue those other avenues. But you're absolutely right. Saliva testing and breathalyzer testing for cannabis is really scientifically unjustified, in my opinion. And they represent threats to civil liberties. And these are the reasons why Vermont State has not permitted the collection of oral solutions or blood or, you know, breathalyzer as a means for detecting cannabis at roadside.
I'm wondering then if you can give me sort of like a real world practical effect on this use. Does the app give you sort of a number, say you are this high, or, you know, that kind of thing? Or is it more like the user has to sort of gauge what they've done while sober compared to what the app says when they're high, and then make a determination about how high they actually are?
At this point, the app cannot be used as a reliable tool to say whether or not you are safe to drive or you're safe to operate heavy equipment, right? All the app does is it gives you some, I think, hopefully useful information about how cannabis is impairing you. Some of the information that we're getting from the app has to do with sort of the timing of the effect of the edible that you took, what milligrams you took. You know, there are real problems with dispensaries. For instance, they market their vaping or smoke products in terms of percentage THC. But then the edibles are in milligrams. How is the average consumer supposed to make that leap from concentration, which is like ABV, to just a flat milligram, you know, something like that? You know, I'm a professor at St. Mike's. So I think that on my best days of being a professor, I probably am able to encourage productive conversation. Those are my best days. I don't know if those days exist much. But on those best days of being a professor, I think that it's important to have productive conversations. And I think there are three types of conversations that are not productive with cannabis. I think first and foremost, whether or not cannabis is dependence producing. It absolutely is. There's a withdrawal syndrome associated with it. So we need to stop having that conversation. Another conversation that we need to stop having is whether cannabis is effective for medical purposes. It absolutely is. It helps to relieve suffering for a wide variety of conditions, and that list of conditions is growing. The third conversation that we need to stop having is whether or not you're safe to drive when you're stoned. You're not. You're impaired. And there are all sorts of indications from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, along with the Governors Association across the country, that it's not safe. And it does increase your risk. But I do think that the important conversations now need to become, okay, what is a safe dosage? What are the levels at which you can use cannabis and be safe to drive? And I think a really big question now with dispensaries is that we have so many different products, from tinctures to edibles to smoked products, and there's really no good standard to know when you might be safe to drive, when you might be better able to, let's say, interact with your kids. And I think that kind of information is desperately needed. And if we can provide objective information to dispensaries about how their products are affecting their clientele, I think that that's going to be just a boon for public safety all around.
St. Michael's College psychology professor Ari Kirschenbaum, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Nice to talk to you.